Music and Booze with Mo is produced and distributed by Eats Drinks TV, a service of the Center for Culinary Culture, home of the Cocktail Collection, and First Reel Entertainment, and is available wherever fine podcasts can be heard. The Center for Culinary Culture, telling the story of food and drink, one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Sometimes I've got to remember what amazing talent I have in my own backyard here in Los Angeles, and Remington Pierce is one of those people. She is someone who picked up bartending gigs to fill in the blanks while she was not touring as a musician, because she'd get picked up by all kinds of bands to travel all around the world playing bass or guitar, and most recently has been traveling as L7's guitar tech. If you head over to her Instagram, I'll give you that info later, you can see all the work she does repairing guitars. It's fascinating to watch. But if you're in Los Angeles and you go check out a show at the Moroccan Lounge, you can find her there behind the bar, and she would love to craft something special for you because she is getting into all the fine points of craft cocktailing. Well, as best you can do at a music venue anyway. So let's talk to Remington Pierce in a loud, noisy bar, just like we like it.
Introduce yourself and tell me where you work.
Okay.
easy enough.
Yeah, easy enough. Remington, I work at Moroccan Lounge downtown Los Angeles.
And but you also are like a guitar tech to the stars or something, aren't you?
I'm a guitar tech. I'm a guitar tech currently for L7 on the road, but I do a lot of like home repair and minor work out of my apartment.
How did you get into that? You're a bartender, but you are really a guitar tech to the stars. How did this happen?
I've been a touring musician for the past 10 years, and I've been a musician for, how old am I now, about 25 years now. Mm-hmm. I always took care of my own gear because I was like, A, kind of a poor kid, B, I was like an only child, I'm the only musician in my family. I didn't really know people, like you could pay people to maintain your gear. I didn't really know that was a job, so I just kind of learned how to maintain my own stuff. I just kind of looked at it as car maintenance and stuff, so I was learning how to take care of my own car.
I was thinking the same thing. When I had no money, I knew how to fix my car.
Exactly.
I don't know how to do anything, but yeah.
So I kind of learned everything, and then over time, I had some friends come to me asking me, like, oh, you know how to do that? Can you do mine really quick? Just being on the same road as everybody with my bands and stuff, to the point where I just kind of, like, now I go out of my way to learn stuff that I don't know how to do yet, or try to figure out what I don't know.
That's so cool. So when did you start playing? I'm assuming you play guitar, since you're a guitar tech.
I started with bass when I was about 8 years old. And then
at eight?
Eight,
When did you start with bass at eight?
So originally I wanted to be a drummer, but I lived in a condo with my mother and there was like absolutely like, no way that was ever going to happen. And then I did a lot of like after school programs. So one of my counselors from that brought his bass in to like show the kids and be like, hey, it's not a guitar. Yeah. You should check it out. And I kind of just loved it. So I went home and was like, I want to do that. So my mother kind of helped get the ball rolling as far as learning how to play bass. So I played bass for as long as possible. And then I started guitar just because I went to bass instruction for like a little bit, just to kind of learn music and learn how to play and stuff like that. And he got to a point where he was like, well, if you want to write your own songs, I can teach you guitar. And that way you have, you know, two out of the three components you really need to be able to do this. So I started learning guitar as well, and now I kind of switch back and forth depending on what band I'm playing with.
Oh, that's cool. So when did you first start playing in bands?
First band, I was in little like silly school projects when I was like a young teenager, trying to play with my friends, just playing a bunch of covers. I didn't start playing in a band until I was probably, I think I was 18 at the time. I was in a New York style hardcore band in Florida.
Oh no.
So I played bass down there, and that was like kind of my introduction
to
like playing
in a band. What was that scene like? You're trying to play that.
They're still alive and thriving. I mean, like a lot of the people that I used to like go to parties with and play shows with are still doing the same thing down there. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of us have moved away at this point. A lot of people aren't playing as frequently, but quite a few of us actually went out to become touring artists too. So
that's amazing. So how do you? I mean, did you start touring just in your own bands and then it kind of morphed into, or did you?
No, my first touring gig, I got hired. Asked to come in. So around that time when I was living in Florida still, my band was not doing so good with getting our own shows. A lot of the shows that were being put on were a lot of the same bands just kind of over and over again. So I started promoting. I started putting on shows. And from there, I met my first band. They came through town, needed... they were only a three-piece at the time, and they needed some shows. So I put them on. I put my band on with them every time because we needed a closer for the night. My band was willing to do it.
Yeah.
6 months later, they were in Germany. They called me to fly out and join them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're just like, can you leave your band for a bit and come be with us instead?
Basically. At that point, I had already like given up my apartment. I wasn't really playing with my band anymore.
Yeah.
I was touring the country with an ex-girlfriend. We were living in a Prius.
Oh, because
she was a model, so I was kind of like tour managing her.
Oh, okay.
So
that works.
Yeah, so I was already on the road. I already had everything kind of taken care of.
So you're used to that. You're used to that kind of living.
So they were like, okay, if you're not too busy, do you want to like give up everything you know and fly to Germany and live here now? And I was like,
okay.
Yes.
And how long did you do that, the German thing?
I was with them the first time for 6 months.
Uh-huh.
I left, came home, my visa expired, and then we had a whole...
the whole thing.
Relationship thing.
Yeah.
So I regrouped in Florida, and then I ended up getting picked up by Sham69, so I lived in England for a while.
By Sham69?
Sham69, really? I was the bass player, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I lived in England for about 2 years playing with them, but I was also married at the time, so going back and forth was, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Left Sham69, came back to the States, was trying to figure out what I was going to do next, and that original band, Barbed Wire Dolls, hit me up again to come back and play guitar.
So you played bass with them the first time.
Yeah.
And then you came back
and then I came back as a guitar player.
That's amazing.
And that time we did a bunch of European tours, but we were also primarily based out of the United States. And that's really when I started dipping my toes into LA, which ultimately brought me out here.
Yeah. So, but you spent how many years touring?
The past 10.
10? That's a lot. That's a lot of time to be on the road.
It's my favorite thing.
Is it still your favorite thing?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yep. When was the last time you were on the road, like touring?
October last year.
Just past October?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Who were you playing with at that point?
I was teching for L7.
For L7, okay.
Yeah.
So now you're on the road, but now you're a tech on the road.
Right now, I kind of took like a breather from the band that I was playing with, the Bomb Pops. They're doing their own thing for the year. I'm focused on touring largely. So I've got a lot of, not just touring, but I'm actually getting my teching up to like a full-fledged business. I just talked to a banker today about starting an LLC for myself. But I was kind of going in that direction. I was trying to make a name for myself, try to get a little more practice at it.
Yeah.
Be on the road for that. I want to eventually start my own music project. That's kind of what I'm ultimately gearing up for.
Yeah.
I just haven't found all the musicians I want yet. Haven't really, like, I just moved and everything, so I haven't settled into writing.
Yeah, you've only been here for a little while.
So I've just been mainly focusing on guitars, getting all of that ready, my tour with L7, just to, like, kind of set the groundwork so that when I do have time off and, like, when I'm kind of in a downtime or whatever time I have, I can start writing my own project.
Yeah, so when... Okay, so you've only been out in L.A. for a couple of months, is that, or has it been a year now?
How long have you been? I've been in L.A. for...
You've been here for a while?
On and off, 7 years.
Oh, 7 years? Oh, my God.
I moved to Wisconsin, okay. So the reason that I met Joey is I moved to Wisconsin 2 weeks before the world shut down in 2020.
Oh, that's why I have it in my head.
I moved out there with the intention of, like, starting a new life, trying something different. Also, the band I was in was based out of there at the time.
Yeah.
And then literally 2 weeks later, the world shut down.
And it's so, like, time since then is just weird.
It's so,
like,
weird.
That was just like a year ago. It was 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
It was only a couple months. It was a whole year. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Everything is so off right now. So who was the first band that you did guitar teching with? Was that L7?
L7. For like a 100% I'm on the road only guitar teching.
Yes. Yeah. And you got grabbed for that just because you just were good at doing your own and people saw this?
Yes. I have a really good buddy in the scene. His name is Steve. I met him with my most recent band, The Bomb Pops. He got contacted by somebody that they needed a tech, so he just woke me up and said, call this number right now. This is perfect for you. So I was like, okay. And, like, woke up and I was like, I don't know who I'm calling, but what's up?
And so they told me, I can fix your shit.
Yeah. And it was, so I ended up taking over for a guy who got, he got a job that he felt he couldn't turn down, so he was trying to find a replacement for him for the L7 tour.
Yeah.
And so my name got thrown in the mix. I had a conversation with him. He vouched for me. They passed me on to management. Management accepted me. I went on the road with L7.
Wow. So, that's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so your tech stuff, you've actually got a whole Instagram, which is more or less you just fixing shit, right?
Yeah, it's still kind of personal, but it's turned into all my reels. Yeah, just making, so, like, I
mean,
fixing everything.
So what made you decide, like, okay, I'm just going to throw it up here? Like, I mean, people like watching that kind of thing. When did you morph it into that? Like, this is what I do.
Very begrudgingly, I will say. I don't love social media, but...
It looks very pro. I watched it, and I was just like, wow, she's got, like, a whole thing going on here. This is wonderful, you know?
My partner's actually really good. She follows TikTok, like, kind of religiously.
Yeah.
So she was like, these trends are kind of cool. Like, you should really do this. You have, like, a niche thing. People like watching that. You should start making videos of what you're doing. And I fought her for probably close to a year. And then I started slowly taking pictures of, like, a before and after, like, in the process. And then after that, I was like, I'll just set up a tripod and start filming it.
Yeah.
So then I just started filming the entire thing. And one of them I made a time lapse. I'm like, well, let me try this. If I just speed it up and make it, like, go really fast. And it kind of took off. And I was like, oh, okay. This is a thing people like. All right, I'll keep doing that. So
it's fascinating to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So... what would your music project be when you do have the time and to put something together? What do you hear?
What do I hear?
What do you hear?
probably still something under the pop punk umbrella, just because I'm so well versed in that. I've been doing it for years now.
Yeah.
But I want to go harder.
Yeah.
I want it to be heavier. I've always been more of, like, a heavy music, more grungy, kind of just, like, garage band type stuff. Like,
what were, I hear grungy, and I, of course, go to the 90s. But garage, you know, garagey, that is, like, every era. There's some form of that always.
Just,
right?
Heavier,
that really sludgy kind of.
Yeah.
That's something I always have fun with, is that, like, that, like, late 60s kind of garage rock that was so sludgy, like Sonics kind of stuff, you know? It's sludgy, it's fuzzy, it's not cute, you know?
Definitely,
it's just melodic enough, but not really. It's noisier than that.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what you're hearing in your head.
A little bit, yeah.
So when that teacher came in and was playing bass, and you're all, oh, that could be cool, I could do that. Like, who are you listening to? Like, you're 8 years old and you wanted to play music. And I can't argue that because I got my first guitar when I was 8. But I was given... like, all the Disney records that existed when I was, like, a baby. So my mom loved music. My dad loved music. There was always music in the house.
So who
did you think you were going to emulate? What was making you want to do it? What did you want to play?
Let's see. At the time, I was really into, like, Blink-182, Green Day. Sum 41 was huge. trying to think what I listened to back in those days.
What did you want to play when you were 8 years old? Do you remember?
I just wanted to play punk rock. I mean, I think
even
I got...
You were that little and you wanted to play
yeah,
punk rock.
I was always just like awesome. A little punk rock baby. I started listening to that when I was probably, I don't know, 7, 8. My parents were like, what the hell is this? And I was just like, I've kind
That's
of been
so
listening
cute.
To it ever since. Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, pierce my nose, let's go.
Oh, I tried to get my lip pierced as soon as possible. So.
That's adorable.
Just right off the cusp, yeah.
Your mom didn't, she wasn't one of those moms that bought you a like Ramones t-shirt when you probably had no idea who they were.
What's that, sir?
Your mom didn't get you a Ramones t-shirt.
Oh, they had no idea who that was.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Not a clue, no.
So that's what's so funny is that you were into it and they didn't eat. They're like, how
they're
did
like,
this
where
happen?
Did this come from? Yeah. I spent a lot of time on the computer and I would go to the library and like find random CDs. Or like take whatever money I could scrounge up from like allowance or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just go. There was this old record store. I wish I remember the name of it in Florida. I would either go to FYE if I could go to the mall because it was that time, or I would go to this record store that was right next to the mall. And I just picked records that looked cool, like CDs. Anything that looked like I would just go to the like rock and roll punk rock section and be like, that title looks awesome. And like at that bargain one, it was all secondhand, so I could get 2 or 3 of them for a $20 bill.
Oh, nice.
And so it was just like I did a lot of that, picked it up, and was just like, here
we go. I remember learning things that way too, like just flipping through like the import section. I'm like, ooh, that's a pretty cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see what happens. Or that looks sketchy. Let's see what it sounds like.
Exactly.
Stuff like that. I remember seeing some like, scary album covers. This would be the 80s, so it's like Dead Kennedy stuff or something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, looking at that going like, this is horrifying. I wonder what it sounds like, you know, and taking
Well, Dead Kennedy's was one, and Subhumans was another one where just through my reading and, like, time on the internet, whatever I could find, it, like, on the inserts of other people's records who they were, like, dedicating things to, I knew the name Dead Kennedy's. I recognized the logo. I knew the name Subhumans. I had heard that one before. So those were two that I was like, I have not a clue what these sound like, and
but
I just bought them on the front.
They're important. I need to know.
They're important. I need to know. Exactly. It's a holiday in Cambodia. It's tough, kid, but it's a life. It's a holiday in Cambodia. Don't forget to pack a wife.
Wanted to play like at some point, like when you were in high school, like
wanted
what,
to play like.
Yeah, or what were you obsessing over and trying to learn when you were in high school?
Let's see. So I remember when I was picking up guitar.
Yeah.
The Distillers were really kind of in their heyday, and up until that point, I hadn't really found a lot of female musicians.
I was gonna say.
Joan Jett was such a household name, and I love everything that she's ever done, but musically, that's not the direction I've ever wanted to go in.
Yeah.
Love what she's done. I think she's absolutely incredible, such an idol, but like, I needed harder. I wanted more punk rock, you know?
Yeah, I would say she's almost poppy.
Yeah, yeah, more like radio friendly and so on. So when I heard Brody Dale for the first time, that was when I was like, oh shit, like I can actually
do this
balls to the wall style.
Yeah.
And she was one of the first women that opened my eyes to the scene. From there I went all the way down the Riot Girl rabbit hole. I found everything I could get my hands on. I was also, you know, on the internet pirating music at that time. So I was like able to just look over
everyone
everything.
Everyone has their LimeWire days.
Exactly. So from there, like I just started doing searches of like female punk rock and like anything I could get my hands on, I was just consuming as fast as possible. And that's really what kind of changed the game for me. I spent a really long time not just thinking it's a boys' club, but thinking like, oh, this is going to be really hard. I don't know if I'm good enough. I got to figure out how to be better than these guys so I can actually be in a band.
Yeah.
And then like years into it, when I joined my first hardcore band, I got in the band and they're all like, you're actually better than the last guy. And I spent all this time
you're
like
dumb.
Nervous about it because I didn't see anybody who looked like me up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that made such a huge difference finding those things.
They were right there in that talk of representation matters. You know,
absolutely.
It's like when I DJed in the 90s in the Bay Area and that was like the height of that stuff. You know,
definitely.
It was like that
absolutely.
Was all happening. And I'd be playing all this music, and a lot of times it would be female-led bands, and I didn't think about it. It was a lot of that was just happening.
Yeah.
And I just liked
L7.
It, you know, right? Totally.
Up in that area, yeah.
And it was like that, in the indie rock scene, in the punk rock scene, all of this. And I was in Berkeley, so So all that was happening, right, playing stuff. And I remember sometimes I realized I could go a whole hour and only have been playing female artists. I'm playing like DJ Harvey or something. And that was like Dry, that like the Rid of Me album, not Dry, the Rid of Me album. I was like, I will play the fuck out of this record. It's so good. I'm just bleeping out
it
the
is
bad words.
Literally my favorite record. I think it is perfect start to finish.
Absolutely. Both versions of it.
Both
I accept both versions of
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
They're amazing.
100% all the way through.
Oh,
it is
so good.
Still to this day, one of my all-time favorite records of all time.
It's perfect. I mean, yeah. I agree. It's perfect. And so I remember that someone called me, some guy called. And he's like, so do you just play chick music? Is that your thing? You just play chicks? And I was like, no. He's like, because I don't think you played a single dude in the last hour and a half or something. And I'm like, yes, there's a lot of women making good music. You know, I'm just like,
you're like, surprise.
Is this, I'm sorry, this is bothering you? No, I'm not. I'm just like, wow, you're so alerted about this. It was so weird to me because I honestly was not even thinking about it at all. And then afterwards, I was just like, I don't think that's weird. Is that weird? I'm just playing music that is good and that I like. And it just so happens to be a shit ton of female singers and female, you know, on this. And I was, afterwards, then I really started thinking about it and I'm like, awesome, there's so much more than like in the 80s. It was like just the pop singers.
Yeah.
You know, that was, I mean, granted, you still had like X-ray specs and.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
You know, there were things that were happening then. But yeah, it's amazing to see that and to have more of it out there. And it's just, like you were saying, to me, it's not just the token chick bass player anymore. There's more than that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
As we know, so many bands, it's like, and she plays bass. Nothing against you playing bass. You're she playing bass.
But it's like,
but you know what I mean.
It's a comfortable position because, like, I always feel like bass gets overlooked so much, and I could rap on about
bass
that for hours.
I got obsessively into music because of Duran Duran.
There you go.
And therefore, John Taylor is my guy till the end of time. And he's a great bass player. I mean, he's an insane bass player. So
I actually just worked a show with them at the Bowl not long ago. I guess that was last September.
So I mean, bass is great, and it taught me being obsessed at a young age with pop stars, with like the boy band of the era. Actually, I was such a music nerd that I started listening to each instrument, each instrument, so I hear them. So if I'm listening, like if you're playing, I can tune it out and then just listen to the bass and be like, oh yeah, that's good, you know, hearing
awesome.
Them. So, but you're saying, like, you were playing guitar, and you're seeing more women out there doing all this kind of stuff, and you're like, thank God.
I'm like, oh, cool.
Well, and how about guitar teching? I mean, are there a lot of women out there that you've run into?
I know one
this?
Personally.
See?
I know one other one personally.
So
I'm sure there's more of us out there. I haven't come across them.
Right.
I haven't met them in my travels.
As much as you hate your social media.
As much as I hate my social media, yeah.
Get it out there and let, like, other women see that.
That's what I'm, you know, I'm trying to do it for a number of purposes. Obviously, I always want more business. So I want to get it out there.
Yeah.
But I've had a lot of people, like, I've had a lot of women or, like, even a lot of, like, my non-binary friends have come up and been like, we don't see representation. How the hell do I start teching?
Yeah.
And I'm like, buy a shitty guitar and start messing
and
around
start
on it.
Just start learning it.
Like, just start taking it apart. And, like, that's really all you can do.
Yeah.
It's like, I would love to teach you, but there's so many different things. It's like, you have to come to me with a question. I can't just start at the beginning. Like, if you tell me, how do I do this? Okay, great. Let's get into it.
Girl, this is years of me taking shit apart. And
exactly. Like,
how do
I fix my guitar? How do I fix my bass? I don't know what's wrong with it. Like, I don't know. I don't know where to start there. So,
well, speaking of business, you also bartend.
I also bartend.
The bartending is what you do when you're not on tour and things like that. When did you start bartending?
So, technically speaking, I only started mixing with liquor a year ago now.
Really?
Really. in the past, I've worked for like beer and wine bars, so I've served in that capacity. But majority of my time was spent as a bar back. I actually worked at the Hard Rock on Hollywood for a while.
Oh, really?
I was a bar back there for a while. I worked at other bars, like both in Florida.
Yeah.
I was lined up to work at a bunch in Wisconsin before the world shut down.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I've always worked in bars. It's just I never made the switch into liquor. Again, it was second-guessing myself. I don't know what I'm doing. I shouldn't step up for that job. I would need to be trained. And then I took a step back until my friend was actually the manager at Moroccan Lounge. Mm-hmm. So she got me in as a bar back. And within a week, I was already being trained on bartending. She's like, we don't want bar backs here. We want bartenders. So you're going to learn really fast. And I was like, okay.
How was that for you?
It was great.
Really
I loved
fast?
It. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And, like, I know a lot of... I've been in bar culture for so long.
I was going to say, you've been in it for a while.
So all I really had to do was learn, like, not the components so much, but like the ratios. Once I got like certain ratios down, it became interchangeable and I was able to just sort of go for it now.
So. And Moroccan is a place where, I mean, it's a music venue really, first and foremost.
Yeah, we're not open normally.
Yeah, so it's kind of like just basically I would guess it's a high volume thing because people are coming up and they want their vodka sodas or whatever, or vodka crayons. And then run off. When I go in there, I'll see our mutual friend there. I'm just like, ooh, you can make me something nice. And I'm all, well, I don't want you to take too long. It's always so crowded. That I know. So once you started bartending, what was different for you? What was something fun that you learned? Did you like realize? I know you've been in bar culture for a while, but being a bar back and all this stuff is like, okay, safety meeting, Fernet shots for everybody, you know, it's always that. So now that you're like mixing and everything, are you finding like, oh, I have more of an appreciation of this spirit than that or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I learned recently I like gin.
Oh. I took a long time too because I had one of those like teenage experiences with gin that didn't go well. But then someone was like, you just haven't had the right gin. And I'm like, yeah,
agreed.
People say that about me not wanting to have children, too. Haven't met the right guy. I'm like, no. But
no, I feel that.
They were right in the gym category. So
no, I tried a couple different things. It got really interesting. I started to learn about, like, cocktails that, well, not just cocktails, but, like, even certain liquors and liqueurs that I had literally no experience with. I've never heard of these. I'm from the South. We don't make fancy cocktails. Like, that's just not really, like, we're, like, beer and shots most places I've worked. So the idea of, like, I don't know, like an elderflower liqueur, I was like, the fuck is an elderflower? Like, what is that? I don't even know. But it's like, I've been able to play with stuff. And Moroccan has some weird craft cocktails on our register that we buy liquor for. We very rarely use it. However, when we get kind of slow, I have this one bartender, and her and I will go back and forth making each other something weird.
Oh, cool.
We have, like, a slow moment between shows, or, like, when everybody's in the room.
Yeah.
And so we were doing that the other night, and it's like, no, I don't know. I made her some whiskey drink, and she like mixed something with Fernet for me, and I was like, amazing. But I just, it kind of opened my eyes. It's like there's so much more to the culture that I really had no idea, because I've never been in a mixologist position. I've never been the one shaking it. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I know what I like to drink. I drink the same most basic drinks over and over again. I don't know. I got more of an appreciation for it.
Depending on where I go, I was always like, I'll just have a 7 and 7. That's like, if I look at it, I'm like, this is an Ann place, 7 and 7. I'm good to go. And they're like, we don't have Seagram's. So I'm like, whiskey and soda. I'm like, I'm good. Yeah, well, that'll be easy. If I go in somewhere and they have a little menu, I'm like, oh, I'll look at the bar. You have some things back there. Do you want to play? Because I'm open to it. You know?
Exactly.
So at this point, if someone came up to you and was like, make me something special, what do you think you would do?
Ooh, I actually have a lot of fun with that. If it's slow
enough. She's like, I'm ready, yes.
if it's like kind of like a slower night, we're moving a little like easier. I've had a couple of customers come up and I'll notice. So their first drink, you know, let's say they order something with rum, and then next they're like, okay, now I want a tequila drink. And I'm like, let me stop you there. Are we going on an alcoholic adventure? And I'm like, you don't know how to drink, do you? You don't know what you like. And they're like, no, I really don't. I don't know what I like. So I'm like, okay, you're going to slam a glass of water in between everything I make you. And then I'm going to mix whatever you want. We'll try something else next.
Cool.
And so I've had a couple people where I'm like, this is actually exciting for me. I like doing that. Because I've been so ingrained in, you know, drinking culture for a very long time. Yeah. That it's like, I know what I like. I know I've tried everything at this point, or at least so I think.
Yeah.
So just having somebody who's like really that comfortable with just being like, I have no idea, make me anything. It like gives you room to play, and then also like they might find their favorite thing out of it.
Yeah, totally.
And that's cool. So it's very exciting.
So right now, you're totally happy with, okay, I'm bartending right now, but then when the next tour comes, I'm out. I'm touring because you love that so much.
I do.
That doesn't seem like a sustainable lifestyle to me. You love it that much. I shouldn't say I'm a homebody. I love to travel, but after like 3 weeks, I'm kind of like, I kind of want my bed again. You know, where is that? What's the longest you've been on the road?
6 months.
6 months. Okay. So you know that it's coming. So now, I know there's not a lot of time. A friend of mine said to me, and I say this often, when you buy a ticket to a show, you're not paying for the 2 hours people are on stage because they love that. You're paying for the 22 hours you're not on stage. And I know a lot of times you're like, dashing into a town and dashing out. But now when you go into towns, are you curious about, like, the bar culture there?
Definitely.
In your mind, you're like, I gotta go check out this place. I hear they make good cocktails.
Definitely.
Have you had a chance to explore stuff like that?
Yeah, before COVID, before the whole quarantine
ruined
everything. My old band, we used to do that. They were all beer guys, so we would find a brewery in town.
Oh, cool.
We would go find a brewery, and then they were also sports guys. And, yeah. You know, we would go try to find a Packers game before the show. I didn't care. I liked seeing them excited. I was just there for the alcohol. But
yeah,
we would go just, like, post up somewhere and, like, have drinks for a couple hours or whatever, whatever amount of time we had.
Yeah.
Now, in the after times, if you will, I haven't really been able to go out very often just because we are trying to keep, like, make sure nobody's getting sick, trying to minimize our access to the public.
Yeah.
Really trying to, especially like the last tour that I did was L7's first time post COVID, and so we kept our bubble very tight just to make sure, kind of like dipping their toes in the water, seeing what it's like to go out again.
I know you hear about like just about every tour, like at some point
it's still COVID. Like, you know, one positive test can ruin your entire tour.
Yeah,
if it's the like wrong person, you know.
Yeah.
But I did get permission from them, and I was very excited. So when we were in Chicago, I am a huge Malort fan. I love Malort.
You love Malort.
I love Malort.
Oh my God, you have a Malort cozy. Cozy. Oh my God.
And also the pop socket on my phone is
also. Oh my God.
Judson Malort follows me. I'm very excited about it.
I won't ask you to explain because there's something for everybody. I get
absolutely
it. The first time I had it was at the end of a long night, so I probably shouldn't have had a shot of Malort at the
touché
point I had it.
Yeah.
I fully accept responsibility for that. The next time I had it, I was in Seattle, I think, and it was before it was being sold elsewhere.
Now you can
buy it here.
They're expanding distribution.
Yeah,
sure.
I have a bottle. I have a little mini at home,
just in case.
But you can get it at like Barkeeper, so you have it there. You know, so I've seen it around. But I remember I was in Seattle with my boss, my then boss, who's someone I'd known forever, and I was just like, he met me there, and I'm like, hey, we got to get a drink, but I see they have a bottle of Malort back there, and I said to the bartender, that must be yours. He's like, oh yeah, nobody sees that. Nobody knows that's there. I was like, well, that means I need to buy a shot from him, because I know he's never had it, to my boss. And I told him, we will split this. You might regret it, probably regret it, but you have to do it. And he was like, are we in college now? We each had half of it. And afterwards, he's like, that was disgusting. And I'm all, I know, but now you've done it. And now you can explain this to other people. But I do have a friend from Chicago, and she's like, I think it's great.
Yeah, I lived in Chicago for a little bit, but it was one of the times I was visiting that I had it for the first time.
So you got let loose from the
tour. Oh, we got let loose, yes, that's right.
So that you could go and...
We were parked right outside the metro, so there was a bar right next door. We hopped on over. I made a really good friend on the tour. He was like our stage manager. He was in charge of our drop and everything.
He's
never had
one
before. And I was like, I need to see your Malort face. I need to see it. I was like, I don't know how you're going to go. So I take him. We get permission. I'm like, he's never had one before. Can I go give him a Chicago handshake? They say, yes, don't take too long. So we're like, okay, one shot, we're out. So we went over there. They gave us just like, you know, little ponies of old style to chase it.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and I cheers him, and I say, okay, I'll see you on the other side of this. Let's see if you meet me. He takes it. I set up a camera. I had him videoed the entire time to get his Malort face. I'll show you.
Oh, my God, it's so great.
He turns to me, and he's like, it's good. And I was like, yes.
Oh, my God. We're meant to be friends forever.
Exactly.
I mean, there's part of me that wants to try it again now that some time has gone by and be like, and not be freaking myself out about it.
Absolutely.
You know, that
we'll have
to
find a place. I know there's places. Somewhere in downtown that has it. I forget which place it is.
I just told you I got a little bottle at home. But
oh, you do?
We'll figure it out. So, but I know they have it around here. I'm trying to think where I've come across it. That is so funny. That is so funny. Is that the only other person you've met so far that's like, yeah, Malort? Besides someone from Chicago.
My partner says she likes it, but every time she takes it, she definitely makes a Malort face. There's like no enjoyment written on her face. But she does agree with me. I get less hungover if I drink it. My hangovers are significantly less than anything else I drink. Besides Fernet.
If that's what you're drinking for the night, or if that's
I can
part
be taking shots alongside everything else.
Really?
Yes. I wake up in much better position, like a way better position than I do with anything else.
Who would have thought?
Like I can do do whiskey shots all night long and not be as drunk. I can be like in just a way better position and still wake up more hungover. And I drink whiskey the longest.
Like, oh my god!
I've been a whiskey drinker my whole life.
Yeah, that is completely distressing to me. But at the same time, Malort has to have something going for it, I suppose. You know.
I like it. I like it, man.
Well, that's probably a good place to wrap things up.
Perfect.
Because I don't know how we can like follow up on I love Malort and it's good for you. So I guess throw out the social media and just let people know if they want the oddly satisfying thrill of watching you do guitar tech work, which I think is really beautiful.
Thank you.
Anybody out there who wants to watch it and be inspired, because really, like you're saying, you know, it's something that I'm always surprised when I don't see as many, say, women in certain positions or people of color in certain positions and all this. I'm like, well, why is that? Because I know that you're there.
Absolutely.
I know people are out there. And so, you know, whenever I find myself in a position to be like, hey, you should know about this and try to do it, I do that. But it sounds like you do, too.
I try to, yeah.
So what's that Instagram?
My Instagram is Remington without the vowels. So okay. It's RMMNGTN.
All that, just Remington. And if you go to it, there's you working on guitars,
yep,
basically.
A whole bunch of them.
So there's that. And you're not headed on the road anytime soon?
I have a few dates with L7 next month.
Oh, okay.
We'll be at Punk Rock Bowling and Belltown Bloomfest and a couple other shows scattered
around. Oh, that would be fun. But otherwise, you could be found skulking around the Moroccan Lounge.
Otherwise, we'll be at Moroccan Lounge.
Okay, so if anybody's seen the show at the Moroccan Lounge in L.A., dip away from the show for a minute to get a fancy drink from you if you want to play around. I like it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you so much, Remington. It was
fun. Oh, no, thank you. This is awesome.
You know, Remington is super cool, and I really, really love talking with her, and we wound up hanging out for a couple hours after that, just FYI. But if you want to find her on the socials, it is RMMNGTN, as in nickel, and you can see all the fascinating work that she does with guitars, and then some. You know, I still haven't gone back to try Malort again, no matter how cool Remington is. I just still have the fear. Thanks for joining us in a nice noisy bar, and check out the Mo Herms on Spotify profile, because there's a really great 3-hour playlist from Remington on there that you might want to rock out to. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search She Be Mo on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.